want to invite everybody to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah again this morning. Now, I'd ask you, well, when you get there, you can say amen. Man, I still hear some pages turning. It's all right. It's good and warm in here. Don't anybody go to sleep, though. All right. Let's pray right quick. Now, Father God, as we are about to embark on in looking at Your Word, I pray in this moment, Father, now, God, for clarity of speech, clarity of thought, that I may convey to Your people what You and I have talked about this week. God, I pray that You would just all the things that have You brought to the forefront of my memory, Lord, I pray that, God, today I'll be able to convey that to Your people. Father, I pray for physical strength in this moment. I pray, God, that You'd give me just about 20, 30 minutes, Lord, now to set aside some of the things going on in and through me. And, Father, I pray that You'd give me that power and strength this morning now. God, may these people not hear me speaking, but, God, may they hear You speaking today. We pray and ask these things in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You know, for a long time, you've probably heard me say this before. One of the hardest things I do whenever it comes to getting these messages ready is coming up with a title for them. That is one of the hardest things to me to do. The second hardest thing is the introduction of these messages. You always want to come up with something. I remember my speech teacher back in our speech professor back in Phoenix City, she taught us this, that there's what's known as a hook at the beginning of a good speech, or in the case of preaching, there's a good hook. In other words, it hooks your attention and then it pulls you in to really listen to what's being said. You've heard me tell the little stories about Jerry Clower and all that type of stuff. Well, there's a reason for that. It's not just to hear laughs. It's to really pull you in and really listen to what's being said here. It's the stories like, you know, you hear so many times that Jerry Clower used to tell. It's the ones like when him and Marcel went to the high school football game one Friday night, and Marcel was there, and they were up in the stands, and sure enough, his team, Marcel, the high school they were pulling for, the ref all of a sudden took that little yellow flag and went woof and threw it and marched off 10 yards. Marcel stood up in the crowd and said, "Ref, you stink! I can smell you from here. You stink, ref, you stink. That's the sorriest call I've ever seen in my life." Well, the ref picked up the little yellow flag, walked off 10 more yards and threw it down, and looked at Marcel and said, "Well, how do I smell from here?" It's a hook. I don't have that this morning. In fact, the story I just told you, that come to my memory right then. I really don't. I don't have a hook this morning. But I do have a question for you. Choir? Church? Don't answer this just yet. Do you want the very hand of God upon you this morning? Now hold on. Hold on. You remember about Nehemiah here. We've talked about him so much now. There ever been a man in the Old Testament when the hand of God was upon him? It was this man right here. You remember the story about Nehemiah? Flash back with me for just a moment in chapter 1 there. Nehemiah comes out and sure enough his brothers come to see him. And he runs out there and says, "Tell me, Hananiah, how's things back in Jerusalem, brother?" He said, "Oh, my gracious alive, man, you ain't going to believe this. The walls are destroyed. The gates are afire. People's running around in chaos. It's a mess, man." The Bible tells us this, that Nehemiah began to weep. But Nehemiah did something else as well. The Bible says that he fasted, that he prayed, and he confessed both day and night. That he did all of these things. Up to the point the Bible goes on and tells us that Nehemiah one day went before the king. You remember this. He was a cupbearer. You know them old boys that took a sip of the drink just to make sure it wasn't about to poison the king. You know, the job that everybody wanted. I don't want it. But he was that particular man, and he went before the king one day with the Bible doesn't say what, if it was food or drink or whatever, but he went before the king, and the king looked at him and says, "Hey, why you look so sad?" The king at that moment had the right to have him executed right there in front of him, kill him dead, right then. But the hand of God was upon Nehemiah. The hand of God. And the Bible tells us that he went on, not only did he tell him what was wrong, what was going on back in his home place in Jerusalem, how the walls had been destroyed, how the gates had been burned down. And listen to this, he went even as further to ask for letters of requisition to be able to get him across the provinces going back. 840 miles he traveled back to the city of Jerusalem. He asked the king for those letters. Not only did he ask him that, he took it a step further. He says, "Well, while I'm at it, hey, I might as well go all the way. How about cutting me a letter out for the person that is over your forest back in the cedars of Lebanon so I can get all the wood I need to rebuild this city." Shoot, yeah, man. The hand of God was upon him. The Bible tells us, we saw in chapter 2 here, the Bible tells us Nehemiah traveled 840 miles across all those provinces. He goes back to the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says that he went out at night right by himself and stood and gazed and all of the destruction. The walls had fallen down. Quite possibly the gates were still smoldering, a little smoke coming up from those. And he looked at every one of those gates and did not say one word to anybody about what he was up to. Nothing. And then we come to chapter 2, verse 17, when the Bible tells us that Nehemiah then opened his mouth. And he said something to this effect right here. "Oh, you see the mess we're in." Some translations say the bad situation that we're in. "Well, come," he says, "and let us rebuild the city and the walls so that we may not be in reproach," as some translations say, or in embarrassment, as others may say. "Come, let us rebuild that," in verse 17 he says. But it's not that one that ought to get our attention. It's the next verse that ought to grab us. The Bible tells us this. If you're there in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, the Word of God tells us this. The Bible says, Nehemiah, now he's still speaking to this crowd of people. He says these words, "I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable or upon me. And also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work." Friends, I don't have a little cute story for you today. I don't have a hook today. I just have this statement for you today. You are looking at a man today. I want the hand of God upon me. Now, I want that. I want that upon my life today. I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. And you know what? As I begin to look at this, those words, I just couldn't get over that this past week. I couldn't get over that. I knew God was just dealing with me about that. You know what God revealed to me, started revealing to me? Listen, there's some areas in my life today that I want the hand of God upon today. There are some areas in my life that I need God's hand upon. And listen to me today, church, there's also some areas of this church's life that we need the hand of God upon. All right, but listen now. But there's some things that you and me, we got to do that we've got to get straight in our lives, that we've got to rely on God to straighten out in our lives before we'll ever go any further, before we'll truly have the hand of God upon us. I want to share them with you this morning. I've only got one point. Praise God, preacher. But I do have 9 sub-points. Oh, there it is. You know, that don't mean a cotton-picking thing when a preacher takes his watch off and puts it up on the pulpit. You know the reason we do that? The reason we do that so when we get to doing this, it won't sling off and fly into the air. But listen to this. To have the hand of God upon me or on me, listen. I want the hand of God upon me as number one, as a believer. As a believer today. Say, wait a minute now, preacher boy. I'm a believer, so that means the hand of God's upon me. Well, hold on. Just cause you say, Lord, Lord, I hate to break this to you this morning. Just cause you say, Lord, Lord, don't mean you're gonna see heaven. Jesus said that. I knew it'd get a little quiet with that one. Just cause you cry out, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean you'll ever see the kingdom of God. The only thing that'll get you to heaven, listen, let me chase this rabbit through the briar patch. The only thing that'll get you to heaven is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. There's nothing else. But listen to what we do as believers. The Bible tells us clearly in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible tells us clearly right there. It's where the Ten Commandments are located. The Bible tells us right there in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the first commandment is, you will have no other gods before me, God says. Yahweh God. I'm it. There will be no other. It's just me. There is no one else. We got that. We got it. So what you're saying here, preacher, is what you're saying, that I don't need to be involved in some other type of religion. You mean to tell me that I'm not supposed to be involved in some kind of cult somewhere, religious cult, maybe a satanic cult. I'm not supposed to go out. I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm not supposed to go out in the woods and dance around the fire at midnight and howl at the moon and all this. If you're doing that, though, we need to talk after this. You mean, no, another God, another religion. That's what it's saying. Yeah, that's part of it. It is. And you know what? We take it a step further too, don't we? We take it a step further. I've even preached it this way. You know what? Even the hobbies you may have. You know, what you like to do at the house. So, some of those things can even become gods. They can. My family and I just got to share this with y'all. They didn't know I was going to share this with you. We're on a television fast right now. It's killing me. I love the Discovery Channel, the History Channel. Oh, I love watching those things. Oh, I do. Oh, I love watching that. Do you know what I've realized? Man, that'll draw you away from God, spending time with God. I made this comment. I announced this to the household the other night. I made this announcement. Hey, us not watching television is really helping us as a family. We're able to just sit down and discuss things and talk about the day and how good or bad school was, how good or bad the job was, so on and so forth. We do that. You know what? Television can become a god in your life. It can. It can become a god in your life. Listen to this. I love to play golf. I didn't say I was good at it. I said I like to play it. I didn't say I was good at it. You know what? Listen to me. They're playing. If you're a golfer in here, you know where they're playing this weekend. You know where the PGA's at. Man, they're at one of the most beautiful courses in the world. They're out in California at Pebble Beach. Oh, my gracious. Oh, I just saw the other day. Listen to me. I was flipping through my emails. I get an update from PGA Tour on there. And I got an update. It said, Tiger Woods is playing great. Dog, I can't watch it. We make gods out of anything, don't we? You know what a God is? A God is anything that substitutes Yahweh God in your life. It can be anything. Anything whatsoever. But you know what? Listen to me. What we want to do is, though, it's like an elephant in the room. How many of you have ever heard of that phrase? An elephant in the room that nobody wants to recognize that he's there. We know he's there. We just don't want to say anything. Don't say anything about it. We know he's back there. Don't say anything. He won't move. So is it with idols in our lives and other gods. Listen to this. In his book entitled Chasing Elephants, Wrestling with the Gray Areas of Life, Brent Crow, and I'd encourage you to read this book. Brent Crow teaches or touches on five areas of life that are elephants, but for some have become other gods. Five of them. The first one he brings out, and listen, this goes right back to the pluralistic society you and I live in today. Totally contradictory to what the Word of God says. The first thing he touches on, the first elephant he says, entire chapter devoted to this, is homosexuality. That's the first thing he mentions. Wait a cotton picking minute. What? The second thing he mentions is this, is the cyber world, the internet. You don't believe that's not eating our society up today? My gracious, you ain't read the paper in the last 3 weeks. You don't believe that's not destroying marriages and families today? You hadn't read the paper, picked up, or turned on your television. It's destroying us. I shared it with the group here Wednesday night. Do you know in Google, everybody, if you got a computer in here tonight or this morning, I don't even know if it's day or night, this morning, you know exactly what Google is. You know what the two top Googled words are on the internet today according to Google? Sex and porn. It is destroying us. But nobody wants to say anything about it. We sit back and we sit at our homes and we hide all this stuff back. We push it in the corners of the rooms. We push it in the corner of our mind. And yet and still it's the elephant in the room. It's the God in our life that is pulling us away from God. And as a believer this morning, we are absolutely worthless. Hello. It's only the second thing he mentions. But notice this. He goes on and mentions this social drinking. Oh boy, don't even get me started on this. I've debated this for 17 years. I've debated this with people. 17 years I've debated this with people. Well, you know, preacher boy, one drink ain't gonna send you to hell. Yeah, you're probably right. Yep. I agree with that. I'm not arguing that point with you. Well, you know what? One Budweiser ain't going to send you to hell, preacher boy. Yeah, you're probably right. Ain't debating that with you. I'm not. But I'm here to tell you, it's rare that you come across somebody that one's enough. It's rare you come across somebody that's one's enough. You're looking at a man right now that praises God that he's alive today. Wrecked cars, run in with law, all this type stuff, almost pulled over 8 times by police officers, never arrested once. Oh, hey, listen to me, guys. Listen to me this morning. Oh, yeah. Social drinking. Oh, I can handle my liquor. Oh, okay. I'm here to tell you today. May I just jump on this for just a second? Listen to me. Guys. The church will never be the church it ought to be when the church looks like the world. What difference is it? We upped our eyeballs in sin and we're, as my brother just sang here just a moment ago, We up to our eyeballs at sin, pointing the finger at everybody else, say, y'all doing it wrong. And my gracious, the church looks like the world. What's the difference? Nobody wants to talk about the elephant that's in the room with us, though. And we all say, oh, I want the hand of God upon me. How about entertainment? He goes on and uses entertainment. He talks about humanitarian efforts. I'm not going to get into all that. I encourage you to read the book. Oh, man, it's good stuff. How many times we said this about television shows we watch? You know what, that television show, listen to this. How many times have you heard this phrase used? You know what, that television show would be all right if it wasn't for the language in it. And we still watch it. We want the hand of God upon us. Hello. I'm going to tell you what, guys. God's worked with this old boy this week. As a believer, I want the hand of God upon me. But I'm here to tell you, as a preacher, not just as a preacher, but as a man today, there's some things got to change in this old boy's life. You know what? God can't deal. God can't handle sin. You really want the hand of God upon you this morning? And I'm really willing to say everybody in this room wants that. Hey, there's some things in your life and my life got to change today if you want that. And it may not be any of this stuff I just mentioned. It could be none of it. None of it. But there's something else that's in your life today. And it is eating you alive right now. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Do you want it on your, do you want that hand on your life today? I know I do. Oh, I do. Nehemiah stood up, and when he said those words, he said in verse 18, that the hand of my God is upon me. I don't know about you this morning. That's where I want to be. I want to be right there. I want that hand upon me. Hey, it's just like K.O. saying just a moment ago. It's time to quit looking at everybody else. Hey, pointing the finger, you know, so-and-so's doing it wrong over there. Oh, so-and-so, you know, they doing it wrong. He, she's doing it wrong. Hey, man, it's not about them. It's about you and me. I can't do one thing about what you do. Can't do it. I can't make you change this morning. I can't make you do that. I can't make you correct your life. I can't do that. But I'm here to tell you today, listen to me today, to have the hand of God upon us, it starts right now. It starts with us on our knees here before a holy and righteous God, praying, God, forgive me for the filthy, wretched sinner that I am, God. I know that the sin that's in my life has literally broken your heart, God. Your son died for me, set me free, and yet and still, God, I've been drawn right back into the same stuff I once was in. God, forgive me today. Lord, set me free. God, cleanse me today of all unrighteousness today. That's where it starts. And Father, I pray you begin with me. God, me. 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 You in this room right now, listen to me. We ain't started singing. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. But you know who you are. This is it. Here's the invitation. Here is the invitation in a nutshell. Come to Jesus right now. Wherever you're at, get up right now. Come on. You know you're supposed to be here. Come on. It doesn't matter where you're at in this room. It doesn't matter. You may be in the back. You may be right here in the front. Come on. Come to Jesus right now. You ain't got to talk to me. You ain't got to talk to another preacher. You ain't got to talk to... Come on. Right now. Come to Jesus. I want that hand upon me. He has spoken to my heart this morning. He has spoken to my life. God, change me right now. I want that hand upon me. But oh, the things in my life are not what they ought to be. Oh, the battle rages every day. Oh, the fight's on right now in this room, being drawn, pulled to and fro to other things. Oh, come on right now, friend. Oh, Father God, I pray now, in this moment, in this time of invitation, oh God, may people come to Jesus. For it's in His name I pray. Amen.